The Blue Chips had a tough day today, and most of the blame goes to COVID. It's the business news headlines for Friday, the 19th day of November. Thanks, as always, for being with us again today. In other business news headlines, gas and oil companies saw their stock dip, along with a dip in crude oil. We'll tell you why. Some thoughts about the red-hot housing market. And we'll check out one aspect of the supply chain problem: not enough truck drivers. So who is really raising the price of insulin? We've got a report. It seems a joint venture between Ford and Rivian is not going to happen. In other car news, a Detroit automaker is making vaccinations mandatory. We've got the Wall Street Report, and if you're in a job review, inflation may be your friend. And because it's Friday, Jeff Pitts from CityView is in to chat it up about stuff to do in the greater Des Moines metro this weekend into next week. But first, the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. Focusandfind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers. At ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and you can reach us on Twitter, should you wish. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Well, the drop in the Dow today can be traced to what's happening in Europe with increasing COVID infections, and some countries are going into lockdown. Austria announced it will lock down for at least 2 weeks. Even fully vaccinated individuals are being told to stay home, with only necessary job or grocery shopping allowed. The country is also mandating vaccinations. That, plus rising infection rates in Germany, put a chill on the blue chips today, as investors fear higher infection rates may be spread to the U.S. I'll have those numbers from today in just a bit. Crude oil prices have seen a big run in recent weeks, but they also suffered today. Again, the fear of less travel due to the pandemic. Shares of ExxonMobil slumped 4.3%. Marathon Oil gave up 4.3% as well. Occidental Petroleum lost 4.9% on the trade, and Chevron declined 2.2%. Meanwhile, crude oil futures shed 3.7% toward a seven-week low. The drop in oil prices comes on the heels of two recent bits of news. The first is the return of coronavirus fears overseas, and the second was the call by President Biden to have the Federal Trade Commission look into corporate pricing to see if there's been any illegal activity that's keeping gas and oil prices high. Well, nobody needs to tell you that the housing market has been on fire this year. In fact, this spring, prices of existing homes soared a record of 17% from March of last year to March of 2021. While prices have moderated a bit, they are still running about 13% higher from September of 2020 to September of this year. But the question is the housing market too hot? Well, the last time the U.S. housing market looked this big was back in 2005 to 2007. Then home values crashed with disastrous consequences. We all remember that Great Recession. However, Bankrate is reporting that the foundations of this housing market look far more stable than those of 15 years ago. The supply of homes for sale has fallen to all-time lows, and borrowers are more creditworthy than ever. So in general, economists say that a housing crash is pretty unlikely, but don't expect the same level of price increases next year as we've seen this year. Why? Inventories are still low, builders are not building fast enough, mortgage rates are still at near historically low numbers, there is still a strong demand as younger people move into home ownership. So while they may go up, they may not go up as fast. So the answer to the question is, relax a bit. One of the major sticking points in the continued supply chain bottleneck is the lack of truck drivers, and that fact has moved about 60 lawmakers to urge the Labor Department to fast-track grants to unemployed people who want to drive. MarketWatch is reporting that Todd Spencer, the head of the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association, says it won't work. because people may try to become drivers, but once they get into it and see how poorly they are paid and what they have to do, they'll just end up quitting. Spencer said this, quote, "The reality is, if the job that you're offering sucks, it's the solution, really, to go find more suckers, or should you improve the job so more people will come and stay?" End quote. So how do you do that? Well, he says, stop paying drivers primarily for miles driven, but pay them for hours worked. Spencer noted that an expert at a House hearing said 40% of the country's trucking capacity is left on the table every day as truckers spend hours waiting to get unloaded or loaded rather than driving. If the companies that employ drivers were required to pay them for something of their time, then those companies would pressure shippers and receivers to do a better job of scheduling and getting trucks in and out. That's what he said. Finally, is it all worth it? The typical annual wage for a trucker is about $48,000 a year, but the work week can be 70 to 80 hours, and out-of-pocket expenses on the road for meals, showers, and truck stops and other incidentals can total $10,000 a year. So the question is it worth it? Many have said no, and today we find ourselves thousands of drivers short. The price of insulin continues to climb, and the common wisdom is that drug manufacturers are pocketing huge profits. However, MarketWatch has done an investigation and reports that drug middlemen are the most responsible for the price surge. According to their investigation, between 2014 and 2018, the net price received by manufacturers decreased by 31%. For every $100 in spending on insulin in 2014, manufacturers received $70, and the middlemen in the supply chain received $30. But by 2018, the manufacturer's share had declined to $47, and the middleman's share had increased to $53. So, why should people who are distributing insulin, such as pharmacy benefit managers, pharmacies, and wholesalers, get more than half of the money spent by consumers when they have little to no role in the flow of new drug discoveries? There are answers, but none of them are easy fixes. However, MarketWatch suggests that placing more controls on middlemen pricing may help keep insulin prices in check, and that is just insulin. The word is that a joint venture between electric vehicle maker Rivian and Ford ain't going to happen. MarketWatch is reporting that Ford Chief Executive Jim Farley said that Ford has great potential for its own brands, no matter how much they might like the new startup. Farley took to Twitter to expand on Ford's plans for EVs, promising that the company is ready to do whatever it takes to be the second largest EV maker in the U.S. after Tesla. In more car news, if you are a salaried worker for Stellantis, that's the company that makes Jeep, Ram, Chrysler, and Dodge brands, that company will require its workers in the United States to be fully vaccinated by early next year. The Detroit Free Press is reporting that the automaker will join Ford in requiring the shots for U.S. salaried workers, and they will need to have their final dose by January 5th. In general, individuals are considered fully vaccinated 2 weeks after their second shot of Pfizer or Moderna or one dose of Johnson & Johnson vaccine. General Motors, which said it supports COVID-19 vaccination, remained the lone member of the Detroit Three to not have announced a mandate for its salaried workers. The Stellantis announcement, by the way, will impact about 14,000 of their salaried workers. Speaking of vaccines and COVID, Wall Street ended the day mixed, with the Dow off by 268 points to end the week at 35,601. Fears of European lockdowns and worries about more infections in the U.S. had investors rattled. Meanwhile, tech companies added 63 points to the NASDAQ, which closed out the week at 16,057, and the S&P 500 fell by 8 points to 4,697. It was the economically sensitive companies like energy, financial, and industrial that fell, while tech outperformed. And finally, there is this. Could inflation be your friend? As year-end salary conversations approach, American workers share a common complaint: rapidly rising inflation. Bloomberg reports that the spike in consumer prices is offering workers a new angle for their pay negotiations. In addition, the tight labor market gives employees more leverage. While wages have climbed for lower paid jobs, salaries of many office and higher income employees have not kept up. That's according to the report. And 1 in 5 Americans are expecting a raise of at least 10% in the coming year. That, according to a University of Michigan survey. So, your thoughts? Will your company come through for you? Check back with us in January. All right, stay with us because just a click away, I'm chatting with Jeff Pitts from CityView about stuff to do in the greater Des Moines metro this weekend into next week. Hey, you know it is Friday.